Don't you have a safe?
No, you don't have a safe.
Get a safe!
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 23, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Dewey Bass. And now, how to write a letter to the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Matt and I welcome your input and look forward to reading your correspondence on the air. However, there is no polite way to say this. Some submissions are better than others. To ensure the very best Sarcastic Voyage podcast listener submission experience, patent pending, here are a few helpful tips. 1. Keep it short. If you have a lot to say, that's fine. That's great. We love it when people talk about us. But appreciate that unless you specify a certain portion to be read on the air, all 8 paragraphs of your little play are probably going to put the listening audience to sleep. 2. Audio questions are encouraged. Nothing states your case better than your own question in your own voice. We prefer MP3 or AIFF, but can work with pretty much any audio format in a pinch. Speak clearly, try to eliminate any background noise, and don't mumble. Enunciate. Also, don't talk with your mouth full. It's rude. 3. Don't worry so much about bad questions. Unless you're Flonk, we're pretty forgiving about that. We're just happy that you're participating. Ask what you want to ask, and we'll do our best to answer it. Unless it's donut-related. Donut-related questions will donut be tolerated. 4. While we do our best to include questions submitted through Twitter or Facebook or wherever else you might know us, those things are not often easily accessible at recording time. The best way to ensure your question will be seen and read is to email podcast@algar.com. We thank you for your continued support, unless you're Flonk, in which case we grudgingly tolerate your continued pestering.
Panel discussion.
Yes, hello, hi. We're here in this place again. It's me, as always, Al, and Matt is here with me. And
hey.
Our guest this week is Mr. Dewey Bass, who is artist extraordinaire and all-around likable guy. Dewey, hi.
Hello.
That was probably my worst intro yet, I apologize. I owe you better.
I feel likable, though.
Well, you are. You're really...
Do you want to try that again, Al?
No, not really. Ever forward, that's our new motto.
I thought it was everyone's Irish forever.
Oh, for this episode.
I was hoping that would remain in the pre-show. Matt decided nope. Everyone's Irish, and I guess we're sticking with that.
Everyone's Irish forever.
Everyone's Irish forever.
Write it down in the books.
My Scottish grandfather's spinning in his grave right now.
Avenge me, Al.
First of all, before we get carried away with our madness... you have just, well, as of this recording, today's the very first day of your new webcomic. When this posts many weeks from now, the intent is to go with this thing every weekday. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you'll have quite a few up by this point. Why don't you tell the good folk about what you're up to?
Well, it's a comedy strip, like every other strip on the internet, about... people in a spaceship. It's all very original concepts. Comedy, spaceships. But I guess by the time this comes out, it would have been going long enough to say that it's like an ensemble cast, but the main character is a guy who basically has no reason to be on the ship. He won a contest, and he's just hanging out, and he's not sure what he's supposed to do, and he gets in trouble a lot. But there's also the deranged... ship captain who has these weird fantasies about being a space superhero, and there's a lot of strange things going on, but yeah, it's the launch today, and so far response seems to have been pretty positive.
Yeah. On the Twitter, great. Today we saw a lot of our first, it started with friends, and then it started sort of circling out in sort of concentric circles, people I only kind of know, and then it looks like it carried further than that, like mm-hmm. And you do good work. I mean, that's why yeah, you say these are, these aren't original ideas, but in the right hands, that doesn't really matter. I mean, I've seen enough of your work. You have a good sense of comedy and of what's funny and what works. And I think it's a good fit for you. I really enjoyed you. You sent us a sort of a preview of the first few, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I thought it was important to start with a bathroom joke. You know, just set the tone and let sure everybody know it's going to be intellectual and make you think a little bit.
Yeah. I thought, wow, bathroom joke. No, you got me I think you said a few other people as well with number four, and perhaps we should spoil it for those of you who haven't read yet. But,
yeah, that one, I had no idea that was going to go. And I didn't even – this strip has been gestating in my brain for almost 4 years now. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I thought it up driving on a long car trip and trying to keep myself awake at night, and I was decided that what I really wanted to play with was Zip-A-Tone, the dot patterns that people use for texture.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I bet I can make Zip-A-Tone patterns in Adobe Illustrator and then tone some artwork, and that would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I need something to Zip-A-Tone. And then I started coming up with ideas for it, and the final comic has no zip whatsoever.
That turns out how these things work.
Yeah, it reproduced really poorly as a JPEG, so I had to toss that out.
Ah, that sucks.
But, hey, you know. Yeah. The original idea wasn't going to be in color. It's changed a whole lot over 4 years.
Well, I mean, the final product so far looks great, and I've seen the first five, and I mean, I'll be looking. And it's weird, and I don't mean for this to sound like, oh, everyone's doing a webcomic or anything, but it seems like right now is a really good, like, guys that we follow, that we know, that we like, are getting into this thing. And of course, we had Corwin on recently talking about his Galaxy of the Damned. Which like yours is in space, but definitely not a comedy. There's some comedic elements.
This is very different, yeah.
Yeah,
and I really respect the fact that it's not a comedy because that's what everybody does,
right?
Yeah,
well, that's what we did, and
that's true.
Yeah.
All these web comics are starting, and ours is finally ending.
Yeah, but by the time you hear this, we'll have I think five left. We're posting.
Yeah,
we committed to posting one a week for the year, and we don't care if anyone's reading them. Damn it, they're in the can, and
yeah,
they're going up.
No one can argue that we didn't do it.
Now we've said before that we're pretty happy with what we did. It just we needed to go somewhere else where we're you know we enjoy this more. There's so much less work in this. I really admire you for being able to sit down and every day and draw this stuff and committing to. I mean you know five a week is fucking insane. I don't know you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the secret. Convince everyone you know to move away.
Well, I did find that having less of a social life, having less commitments. I kind of got out of a serious career and went to kind of a, you know, low end, like low pay, but low stress job. And I get so much more done now. So I definitely see there life gets in the way. If you can just do your art and nothing else, then, you know,
it's true.
Then you're good. Ooh, you said it's true instead of me for a change. Thanks for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
You don't even realize, but you jumped on a landmine there for me.
All right.
Say something is never not doing something.
What?
That's our other cliched line. I always say it's true, and Matt always says, "Yeah, you're never not drawing," or you know.
Oh, that okay, yeah,
yeah.
You know, so
that horrible thing.
It's not even that bad. It's just once it was called to the forefront, I was like, "Oh, all right."
I took that at face value. Say something is never not something. Okay.
What?
Something is by definition never not something.
Yeah, well, my new catchphrase is everyone's Irish forever.
Everyone's Irish. Really, we're sticking with that one, huh?
Yep.
I mean, we're very, very gradually starting to think of maybe what we can, like, in the future, not now, but in the future, maybe merchandise, maybe put on a shirt or something like that. And
long after we're all dead, people are still going to be saying everyone's Irish forever. It's going to be on coffee cups and keychains. And
see, we got to give Dewey credit because you said it, but he pulled it out of all the other crap we said and said, nope. You know, he repeated it. Like he recognized the potential for that phrase and said, that's the one. That's it.
I want half.
Fucking artists. really though, I mean, getting back to the comic, and we've talked about this offline, just emailing. And I've said this, and I don't want this just to be us kissing our talented friends' asses, but really, yes, you're talented. Yes, you draw great stuff, and your style lends itself to comedic stuff. But really, what I admire about you more than pretty much most, well, all but a couple of artists that I know is your work ethic. And yeah, you say you know everyone moves away or whatever, but it's still. You could play video games. You could sit around watching TV, but you commit to this art. You know, it's important to you, and you do it. And to me, most of doing it is
you know, doing it. Like
right.
most artists that I know just kind of blow it off and say, well, yeah, I'm making a comic. Yeah, well, let's see it. Well, it's not done yet.
I'm working on it.
Yeah,
sort of.
I've been trying to get this online for my website was supposed to go up in August and various things have happened and I tried not to tell anybody that I was doing it, and I especially didn't want to say, and it's happening tomorrow, because I wasn't, like, I've had work finished since July. Like, the ones that you've seen were done in June, and I was just sitting on everything, and I didn't want to rush it. I want to make sure, my goal was to have a whole month's worth of 5-day weeks finished before anybody saw anything.
And to me, that's the secret of, and really, I've said this before, this is the only thing that I feel like Matt and I working together and me by myself have gotten right. That, you know, say what you will about the quality, but I have learned you don't announce something until you have something to show. You don't say, hey, everyone, look at me until there's something to look at. And you don't commit to a schedule like weekly or daily until you have enough, you know, built up that if something goes wrong one day that you're not fucked.
You can stick to that schedule.
Right. And you seem to be taking that approach, you know, as well. And I'm not saying there's not merit to working on the edge of your seat. I mean, Corwin's been putting his thing out daily and he draws them that night. And it's working for him.
But, and I mean, that's really impressive, but not everyone can do that.
Right.
And that lends his a very unique energy, I think. I mean, his not in a bad way, but his kind of feel off the cuff, like a real raw.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and I think that really serves his project well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, and without sounding like kind of a douchey art person, you know, very kinetic. There's
oh, yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of, and it's a lot more about action, whereas yours is about comedy. And sometimes you gotta think out the comedy. I mean, people think, oh, being funny, that's not, you know, it's hard.
This is all new territory for me.
on. You've been drawing, like on the message board we all hang out on, you've been drawing little, like, funny sketches for years.
Oh, sure, but. Like, well, those, for example, the ones that I guess were made me known or whatever in that little community was I'll draw anything, and people would suggest a joke, and then I would just draw the joke. And I would.
I don't know how many times I've seen you draw Dr. Doom, and it's funny to me every time.
Oh, yes.
Entirely flunk. Dr. Doom doing anything. Dr. Doom with a cooking show. Dr. Doom winning a dance contest.
That's all flunk. Well, you know, this is something we don't like to admit, but. With all his questions and everything, but really, Flunk is actually pretty good at kind of, you know, recognizing what's good and kind of, you know, like nudging people along. And he spotted that you draw a great Doom, and I mean, good on him. I'll give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. Those were all fucking hilarious.
And also, Dr. Doom doing anything is usually pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, and you draw a good Doom. I mean, it works
absolutely.
And
I've kind of like. This whole the whole Dr. Doom running gag thing, because I did that, and I also did a thing with Dr. Doom singing Electric Six songs.
Oh yeah, I remember that you would take panels from comics and like change the word balloons, right? Like
yeah, and just insert dialogue from this particularly bizarre, like this band in particular has really funny lyrics on purpose. So like the concept of Doom singing that just added a new layer. And at this point, I can't think of that character like. My personal ultimate interpretation of Doom is he's like this super genius, incredibly deadly killing machine who talks like this. He really does shake his fists at the heavens. Like, you know, like it's completely contradictory.
So kind of like the Monarch on Venture Brothers. So you
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Richard!
He's better at what he's doing.
Well, it's kind of funny listening to the commentary for Venture Brothers. They were talking about how the Monarch initially was supposed to be, what was it, Black Manta?
Black Manta, yeah.
They remembered, I guess misremembered, that Black Manta sounded like that on Super Friends. And they wanted to do that Adult Swim, that Cartoon Network thing where you take an old Hanna-Barbera cartoon like they did with Space Ghost and Birdman and turn it into a thing. And then, then they actually watched the episodes and like, wait a minute, he doesn't sound like that at all.
And
I always thought that was funny. But yeah, you did that Draw Anything Forever, and I thought that was fucking fantastic. You did some great stuff there, and you'd toss those things off like, you know, I'd come back the next night and you'd have five of them up there. I mean, you know,
well, your work, and not in a self-deprecating blah 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 way, but those really weren't very good because I was trying to do them that fast. Like, it was speed and quantity over quality in that instance.
They got the point across. You could tell what was what.
Yeah,
you know, that's,
I think one of them said one of the requests was, I'd like to see you take your time and really draw Dr. Doom in a normal way, and that one took all night, but you know, I was just trying to toss him out there.
Right. Well, and it's funny you mentioned something we talked about again offline was most everyone we know, pretty much the standard when everyone comes on the show, when they, you know, if they're in our little circle of friends, they'll immediately go on Twitter and say, oh, I was terrible. I was, you know, God, I was so bad. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. You're not that guy. You're not that self-deprecating guy. You actually have, like, and you're not arrogant either. You have that great, like, you're actually honest about, okay, well, that's good. That's not good. Like,
I have something of a reputation as the honest guy, I guess, in my friends group. But I mean, I wouldn't rank myself like really high or anything, but I know where I am. I know who's, you know, funnier than me and who's not as funny. And I know who's a better artist and who's not a better artist. And there's a whole lot of people on the better side, but I'm not just going to be like, I suck. I hate everything I do. Like,
Well, for one thing, you're not my girlfriend. Cause I mean, that was a dead on impression of her just now. So
yeah, pretty much
I have a hat.
Yeah, well, it's like she's sitting right here. No, but I mean, being honest about your own stuff is, believe it or not, it's quite difficult. I mean, how many times have all of us talked down Scott Siocco?
Yeah.
And said, no, dude, your stuff's great. Like, keep it going. No, just, nobody's reading it.
Just this morning, actually.
See?
When the webcomic went up, he went and looked at it, and he was like, everybody's so much better than me. And I was like, what are you talking about?
No, you did good.
And I don't know that he's doing it for that. I think he might actually, I mean, I've been there my own self. But,
mm-hmm. I have to talk down Al twice a week.
Well, no, that's different. That's totally different.
I'm very specifically like that. Like I feel confident enough in the artwork, especially at this point. Like I'm in the 30s, I guess, on these comics.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And,
that's great.
And I feel like it looks pretty good. But as far as the comedy or whatever, like I have no concept of whether it's funny until somebody tells me it's funny.
Right.
And if I think it's funny, it immediately becomes this strange arcane object that I can't imagine I actually made. Like, yeah. I've done almost 40 of these things, at least written 40 and drawn 30-something.
Right.
And every time I write down a joke that I think is funny, I'm like, well, how did I do that?
Well, that's – I mean, and I've done this on the podcast a lot. I will just dissect the hell out of comedy and, and just – I overthink it and I just – all the time I'm wondering, well, is this – you know, how does this work and what is the theory of comedy and you know, I'm just fascinated by that whole thing. And there are things on this show that we've done that have really taken off. I didn't expect Shake Hands with Danger, for instance. I didn't expect anyone would care. Like, we talked about it once. Okay, that's great. And then we move on. But people have fixated on this.
Yeah. People are just fascinated by it.
And that's not even our thing, so that's not a good example. But, yeah, I mean, it's like that in anything you do. People latch onto the thing you don't really expect, you know. And that's why it's important to you know, to share it, to put it out there, to make it, like, you know.
Well, and let's boil it down to the brass tacks. That's a catchy guitar riff.
Not only that, but it's public domain.
Mm-hmm. Which is very important in this particular case.
That means we can do whatever the hell we want with it.
Shake hands with merchandising.
Don't think that thought hasn't occurred to us. Perhaps more on that subject later. But no, I mean, like I say, you're not particularly self-deprecating, but you're not particularly arrogant. I mean, it's a nice, you know, you know where you are. That's good. And I would say, would you agree that doing all those sketches for people over long periods of time kind of made you better, kind of made you more confident, kind of made
you... Oh, certainly.
Yeah, I mean...
That whole thing started as an experiment because I had just gotten my first Wacom tablet.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea how to draw on the computer. Because I don't know if you've ever seen one of those things.
Yeah.
I got the Intuos, which is the kind that it's just a tablet. There's no monitor inside of it. And you kind of have to... You can't look at your hand because that's not where the picture is coming. So you have to kind of retrain yourself to work on that thing. It was a real disconnect for me. So I had started that thread just so people would start throwing crazy stuff at me to draw. And first ones are much, much shakier than the later ones, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got like that regular drawing and I mean, you're doing like tons of different stuff. I mean, that would be great practice.
Yeah.
I mean, and at first I couldn't draw a circle I mean, I can't draw a perfect circle anyway, but like it would be this super wavy line. You could see every little shake in my hand, and I had to figure out how to get around that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was a very good experiment. And now I draw on I've upgraded to the Cintiq Model Wacom, which is actually a LCD monitor that you draw right onto the screen.
Oh, wow.
No.
So
it's like a giant iPhone.
Yeah, basically.
That's cool. No, and it's funny that you mentioned that. Like you learned how to draw on a tablet by people asking you to do stuff. It was you start with that sort of practical motivation, kind of like you started with this particular technique, which led to your comic. I mean, you
basically.
It's interesting to see that seems to be what drives you. Like a sort of a practical concern ends up causing you to be creative. That's kind of different than a lot of people. That we've talked to where that, you know, oh no, this idea came to me because of this and this and this. You're like, no, I had a real need to do something and, you know, cool stuff came out.
I suppose.
Out.
I guess I don't know if that makes me less creative or more.
No. It's not
a problem
really,
to solve.
I don't think it makes you less or more creative. It's just a different direction than I see most people come, you know. As a writer, I've never found myself saying, well, I need to test the word count function of this word processor, so I better write 1,000 words and, you know.
I think I'm the least... What is it? Are you left-brained if you're artistic? Is that how it's supposed to be?
No, I think so.
I think that's left-brained, yeah.
I believe I'm the least left-brained artist who ever lived. I'm really, like, practical and analytical and really not flowery and prone to... I don't really think of myself as being all that creative, even.
Mm.
I mean, I can draw. Like, I recognize that I can draw and I can do a lot of things, but I don't ever really... I need something to make me use it for something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I need that spark, like you're talking about. Otherwise, I'm just a dude who can draw and has nothing to draw.
But then, on the other hand, you're doing this webcomic, and you've done, like you say, almost 40 of them, and you've written them all yourself. Correct? I mean,
yeah. Well, once you get a direction, like, I just kind of need something to point me in a way, I guess. Like I've been pushed to do something, then I'll start falling down the hill. But otherwise, I'm just going to stand up there, knowing that I'm really good at falling down hills.
Well, and again, I admire you for doing it and for committing to it. So many, you know, people probably don't know because nobody read my damn comic, but you drew a cover for me for issue 6 of my Tales of the Odd, which was fucking awesome.
Very nice cover, too.
Really great stuff. And I wish I'd come up with an idea that wasn't quite so derivative, but
it was
go ahead.
It was a lot of fun. That was technically my first published work anywhere, actually.
Oh, well, that's cool.
So that was very exciting for me.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it came out really well, and it worked really great for what I needed. But just thinking about the people I knew who drew and styles and all that, it's like, you know who would really... I thought about a couple other guys who would fit style-wise, but I'm like, you know who would actually finish this? Like, in addition to being a good match for what I'm after and who would probably get what I'm doing... You know,
I might actually see it someday.
Yeah, and not go all like John Cassaday on me and actually do it.
Right.
And you know, if you ever get to the point, I mean, you've said before you don't necessarily think you're like up to the Marvel standards or whatever. And I don't know if that's for us to say, but if you ever found yourself in that world, in that, you know, that pro comic world, you know, you could probably turn into one of those sort of like Bagley guys, one of those guys who, you know, doesn't miss his deadlines and actually hands things in on time and can do a 100-issue run on something, you know? I
mean, yeah.
You never know. The strangest thing about doing this comic for me right now is I've done them in such a strange way, like in this staggered way where I come up with an outline of a couple of weeks' worth of strips and then I'll go back and write a couple of jokes and then I'll draw one and then I'll do something else and then I'll color one and then I'll letter one. And I really, even though I've done almost 30... something of them, I have no idea how long it takes to make one.
Well, that's it sounds like you know, I think when you get to the point where it's completely streamlined and there's just a process and you sit down and okay, write joke, draw a pan, color, you know, like then it's probably time to get out of it. I mean, the fact that you're mixing it up and that you're thinking it differently and you're approaching it from different angles, that tells me you're still kind of engaged, you know?
Yeah, I think so, but I at the same time, like knowing that I've set this, I really am not sure that I can keep 5 days a week.
Right.
Not necessarily like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore, but like, I don't know if that's physically possible.
Is there a finite, like, is there an end point? Have you envisioned, like, is there a running story or?
Oh, no.
Okay. So you're just going to keep it going until it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never have.
Okay.
I've come up with a couple of things, like concepts that I would like to flesh out over the years, but I've never, nothing with a finite story. I just come up with settings and then throw people in them.
That's fair.
Well, I'm not really a writer.
And the format that you're doing, the sort of the 3-panel daily strip is, you know, like that's very, you know, it lends itself to doing that, to you know, changing settings and doing, you know, I mean, you can have little story arcs like, I mean, Peanuts did that and Calvin and Hobbes and, you know, mm-hmm. like you can do a little, okay, this week we're going to do this. And
yeah.
then, you know, on Monday of the following week, you hit the reset button and you're back to normal again. I mean, that's
right.
That kind of goes with the, you know, with the medium, I think.
Yeah, I guess one of the other things, in addition to the Zipatone thing that made me want to do webcomics, was just reading other webcomics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And two in particular, Diesel Sweeties and Scary Go Round. I
love Diesel Sweeties.
Yes.
Big yeah. fan of them.
And Scary Go Round just ended and became Bad Machinery.
Yeah, Scary Go Round is awesome.
That one I'm not familiar with. What is that?
It's one of the longest running webcomics.
Mm-hmm. From England, I think.
Yes. John Allison's the name of the guy who does it. And he started a webcomic back in 98.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when nobody knew anything.
Back before we could download a full JPEG in you know, under a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had a comic called Bobbins back then, which ran until 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And then he launched Scary Go Round, and it was kind of funny. He was trying to start a new comic with new people and immediately brought all his old characters back into it. And then Scary Go Round ended a couple of months ago, and now there's Bad Machinery, which has some characters from Scary Go Round in it, but it takes place 3 years in the future. So like a lot, there were kids that he had that are now grown up, and like they're the main characters or whatever. So it's but a lot of what those Diesel Sweeties and Scary Go Round did, they didn't really have like a storyline. Well, Scary Go Round did a lot, but the things that I found really interesting was that they would just be people talking,
right?
And it would be jokey or whatever, but both dudes had a large ensemble cast, and it would be like, today we're going to watch these two people talk, and tomorrow these two people will talk.
Right.
And that kind of made me pay attention, because I was like, well, I could have a lot of people. And then
talk. I actually envisioned our webcomic being like that, and it would, you know, every time we would start like a new run on our webcomic, I would think, okay, well, this year we'll just do that. We'll just do funny dialogue, and that's it. And gradually, it would just get ridiculous and out of, you know, Matt would inevitably send me the script where literally 1,000 ninjas jump out. That was, no kidding, the first comic script he ever handed me was
1,000 ninjas.
Yes,
literally 1,000 ninjas jump from the sky.
Yeah, and you know, somebody has to draw this, right, Matt?
Yeah, but it's not me, so what do I care?
Now, granted, I'm doing it with 3D modeling, but it's still work. And
Back at the time, I just assumed you would just keep hitting paste.
Yeah, no, it's not really easy. I did, however, end up making him an image that went on a shirt of 100 ninjas. That's about the best I do.
I still have that shirt.
Yeah,
I was, nice.
One of the few things that I'm actually kind of proud of, like visually. Mm. Like, I think we did some good jokes, but I'm not really an art guy. But what I'm saying is, though, when the intent was always in the beginning to do those talking head panels, because those can be funny if you do them right. If you're a decent comedy writer, which I think I am, and Matt and I work pretty well together, I thought we could just pull that off. But inevitably, that sort of nerd streak of wanting to make an adventure strip and do crazy sci-fi stuff and have, you know, action and, you know, robots and, I don't know, fucking tentacle monsters, and it takes over.
The thing is, I'm all for dialogue, you know, dialogue-based stuff, but then I want to see a time machine.
There's no reason you can't have both.
Exactly.
Yeah, but somebody's got to draw that time machine, and
again, not my problem.
Yeah, this is why
I'll draw 1,000 time machines. God,
this is why Dewey's successful, because he's working alone.
That was not because of that, but that was another thing that I really wanted to. I just wanted to be able to do something completely by myself, not because I wouldn't like to work with other people, but just to see if I could, you know.
Fucking writers. No, I definitely hear. I mean, I believe an experiment like this, you know, an undertaking like this would lead to you being a lot more confident in, you know, in your own art. So that if you get, you know, if you team up with a writer that's maybe not great with giving you the visual, you know, like if isn't writing a full Alan Moore script with all the incredible details, you know, you have a lot more instincts to fall back on, and you can say, okay, I can fill in the details myself because I've done this before.
Definitely,
that's cool. It's something we were talking about sort of in the pre-show, and something that I wanted to bring up with a previous guest who had a bit of a donut fixation.
Who could that be?
Oh, we won't badmouth people here, Scott. just the fact that comedy comics in a medium called comics there's really not that much out there. I mean, you say webcomics are mostly funny, and you're right. But in the actual realm of printed comics, there's not a ton of books out there that are really catered to that, you know, that same sort of mentality. I mean, you get the occasional ambush bug. You get the occasional, I don't know. What's Marvel doing right now that's funny?
Hercules.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
But even those, like those or Deadpool, they're funny, but they're still...
It's still, you know...
Action like, superhero books.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you don't see a lot of... It's strange to me because to me that's... I mean, that's all I really care about, honestly. Like, I'll watch and read, you know, action stuff, drama stuff, whatever, but it always comes back to comedy for me. That's what I love. And part of the reason I'm not really that into comics anymore is everything's so serious all the time. There's always a crisis happening or secret war happening or, you know.
Secret crisis war.
Right. No, but really, like, that's why I got into, like, Bendis early on was his dialogue cracked me up. There's that one issue of Ultimate Spider-Man where he's fighting the Kingpin for the first time. And you think there's going to be this big fucking knockdown, drag-out brawl. And he has a backpack on. You're like, why is he wearing a backpack? And he pulls out these index cards. And he says, I got something to say to you. You're so fat. And then he starts to me, that was a great book for drama. That was a great book for superhero action. But I read it for the comedy.
Oh, right. I forgot.
No, me too. His Spider-Man is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and that's Spider-Man's always been about the comedy. And people often forget that as he's... When he puts on the mask, he becomes this kind of trickster character, this kind of jumping around, heckling people. And I've always, and I'm sure other people have pointed this out before, but really, to me, Spider-Man is kind of that a certain kind of nerd can really relate to that. You got your everyday life where you're kind of scared to talk to girls and you're doing okay in school, but you kind of keep your head down. But then you have this sort of secret life where you can go out and be Mr. Funny Guy. And
yeah, it's just completely unleashed.
Right. And that's, I mean, for me, that was getting on the internet. And that was my Spider-Man.
Absolutely. Same thing here.
And that was my
Spider-Man was the internet.
I bet that's a sentence that's never been said in the history of the English language.
My Spider-Man was marijuana.
Well, everything's funny when you're high, son.
But Spider-Man can be tricky because I feel like as you're saying, most comics are serious. And I think a lot of people don't know how to write Spider-Man. Not that they're bad writers. They're just not confronted with a character who's supposed to be funny very often.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a long period. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I responded to him the most as a kid because he was funny.
Right.
Mm.
And he became my favorite character. And there was a long dry spell where nobody knew how to write a good joke for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it was really getting painful.
That's probably when I dropped out, when they did all this stuff with he unmasked and then the Mephisto thing, and it was a little much for me. And it's not that they're bad stories, like you say. It's just that it's not how I see the character, and you know that's not really, I'm not that interested in that. One of the more recent, it's been a few years now, the Dan Slott Spidey Human Torch miniseries.
Yes. Which,
when Matt came to visit this past weekend, I loaned to him because he hasn't read it yet. That was some of the best Spider-Man I've read in forever.
Definitely.
You've read it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I picked that up.
And it went through the decades. Like each one represented like the 60s, 70s, 80s. And the 70s one, and I won't spoil it because Matt hasn't read it yet, but there's references to the old fruit pie ads.
Yes.
And the ridiculous like dune buggy that drives up walls. I mean, to me, that's...
The Spider-Mobile.
Yeah. That's so much more interesting to me than, you know, a guy who's, you know, like,
I don't want to watch Spider-Man be like tormented by inner angst and stuff.
Yeah.
I want to see a guy being a wise ass, like kick someone in the face.
Yeah.
Is that so much to ask?
Apparently it is.
Yeah.
If I want inner angst, I have Batman comics.
Or Daredevil.
Yeah, exactly. If I want to read the most depressing superhero on alive right now, it's Daredevil.
I've never understood sometimes it works. I'm not saying it never works, but the urge to make Spider-Man dark and sad.
Yeah. Well, like I mean, there's always been that mix of, like, even back in the Stan Lee days, there was a bit of melodrama in his personal life.
Mm.
Of course, sure. I mean, you started out with Uncle Ben dying. And then, you know, there's the famous iconic cover, was it issue 50, where it's Spider-Man No More. I mean,
Spider-Man No More. But I mean, like, the basic character is like a chatty wise ass.
Well, right. but to me, it's, and I feel so douchey even saying this word, but it's the dichotomy. It's the fact that he has this horrible, depressing life, but then he can put on the mask and jump around and be crazy. And that's
exactly.
That's what works.
That's not what I was getting at. Like
half of his life is escapism from, you know, the horrible half.
And that's what makes him work. Right. But what I mean is, like, in the 90s when they decided that he was going to get depressed.
Yeah, it should be all drama all the time and no
I'm
going to
be the spider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And well, and that was...
You know, like, that
and
was
that got so. I mean, that got so bad that they had to do the Clone Saga.
Right.
And the less said about that, the better.
Well, I mean, like, that's why they did it. It's just like, well, we need someone who's fun again because look what we did.
I think it started with like Kraven's Last Hunt, where that one was actually good, but it was also super dark, and people were like, "Hey, Dark Spider-Man! People aren't expecting that." And then, as usual, they're not expecting it. Let's do it 100 times.
Yeah, I picked up Kraven's Last Hunt because everyone was like, "This is one of the best Spider-Man stories," and I read it, and I was like, eh. "And it's probably because I'd been spoiled by all those, you know, the stories that came after." And if I'd read that first, it probably would have been, you know, the greatest thing ever. But
I like Kraven's Last Hunt a lot, but like I don't want to like that's not the Spider-Man I want to read about.
You
all
like
the time.
It because it's a novelty, not because it's status quo.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's a well-written novelty.
Right.
And also it's very pretty.
Yeah. That's true.
That's an important point.
You like pretty things.
I do.
Exactly.
pretty dresses. okay, well, we have some letters here to answer. Have we covered everything? Have we plugged you enough? We certainly want to make sure we've
played. Say webcomic, Pretty Spider-Man.
We had to get Pretty Spider-Man in there.
Actually, I don't think we've even said the URL of your comic yet, and we're going to have it in the show notes, and we're going to mention it again at the end of the show, but I don't think we actually mentioned yet.
It's comicsfromspace.com.
That's a great title.
It really is, and I was shocked that I was able to get that. I could not believe nobody was using that for something.
Yeah. And between that and Galaxy of the Damned, you guys are really...
it's a good time for titles.
And I know you don't particularly have anything to do with Corwin other than the, you know, being on the message board together. I kind of associate... You guys have started at the same time. You're going in very different directions, but it's just...
We're both in space.
Yeah. There's no reason for you to be in space. No, and even I guess Scott Zioko now is posting his Ninjas for Hire, which is great.
Yes,
we'll be plugging that as well.
What you see is what you get
with Ninjas for Hire. it's just cool seeing all you guys that we all sort of hung out on the board together, and now you're all kind of all at once. And I know it's a coincidence, but to me, from where I sit, it's like it's comic time. Like everyone's stepping up and doing something cool, and it's a great time to be sitting here watching you and not drawing my own fucking comic for change.
Well, I don't know if have you seen all the journal comics that are going on in the board that shall not be named?
No, because I'm not back there. You did give me a link to, I guess, the photo bucket or wherever it was you had them, and I just haven't looked yet.
I think that's the final push that got me doing this was I've been doing dailies over there for...
It's like a sketch diary, but it's like for public consumption?
Sort of. I mean,
oh,
it's
cool.
It started out with... Ben Rosen challenged, I think he challenged Blake Sims first. I can't remember. It was either Blake Sims or Andrew Lorenzi to Daily Comic sketch off. And whoever missed a day first lost and had to draw a comic apologizing to the other guy. And Ben won. So then he challenged the other one, I think Blake might have been second now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. And Blake lost. And Ben beat him again. So then he started a thread that said Rosen versus the world. And he said he would take all comers, anybody who wants to do daily comics with him. And he got seven or eight people doing it at one point, like him and Donald DeLay. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And myself and Aaron Burr and several
not,
people.
Not the guy who was involved in a duel with Alexander Hamilton. Different
no,
Aaron Burr.
So spelled differently and everything.
Okay.
But,
and these are all names you're mentioning that quite possibly may be like up and coming artists because I know a lot of these guys to be quite talented.
Every one of them's really talented.
And Ben Rosen in particular, I think, deserves mention. I bought the first few issues of his, was it Insult to Injury?
Insult to Injury. And he has a website now too, benrosencomics.com.
And that's definitely worth checking out. Usually when it's like, and when he started, he was like 16, 17 years old. And I was like, oh, great, you're making your own comic. Yeah. And then I looked at it, I was like, fuck, this kid's talented. And every time I kind of look back, it's like he's gotten better and he keeps, you know, kind of like you where, you know, you draw and you draw and you get better and you get better. And he's doing that and watching him improve has been fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, and it's not the standard like superhero stuff. It's something a little different, and which is nice. I mean, it's nice, you know.
Yeah. And he's really funny, which is important.
Yes, absolutely.
But I ended up beating everybody in that thread.
Oh, nice.
They all had to drop out for one reason or another, and Ben had to quit himself. And
so the world won.
Doing it.
You are the world. The world.
I am the world. I am the children.
Nice.
But I've been doing it for a year and a half now, and I'm going to keep doing it even though I'm doing this webcomic because it's just fun.
You've kicked his ass, and you got to be that guy. You got to like salt the earth now, so nothing can grow there.
You got to keep going. Scorched Earth campaign.
And once once you have that streak, then you know, the unbreakable streak, kind of like Bagley on Ultimate Spider-Man. Okay, I've done 111 issues, and no one's ever going to beat me, so I quit. All right, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying I had the idea for the comic sitting around, but I hadn't really been motivated to get it going. Mm-hmm. Then I did Daily Comics for over a year, and I said, I think I can handle this now.
That's fair. Usually for me, it ends up being a spite thing. It ends up being like, I can't let that guy take all the, you know. I don't know if I've ever admitted this before. The reason I started the podcast, like, I've been tossing this around. Matt and I have been talking about this forever. The reason we finally started this was Nat Purcell, Natty P from the board. Started working on a podcast, and to this day it hasn't surfaced. I've recorded a couple with them, and who knows where they are, but
I think I've heard you mention that before.
Yeah, I'm hoping to shame him into finally posting them, but he seems to have disappeared
as the rage rises to the tip of his lips.
No, I'm actually mentioning this in the context of this particular story, which is I saw that he was starting a podcast, and I said, oh, no way, I can't let him like, no, now is time, now I must do, you know, I must win.
It's go time.
Yeah.
And then we recorded a billion podcasts.
Yes, this is podcast number 786. So I win. That's all.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
I think we have a title for this one.
I win. Nah, I'm sure we can do better than that. They didn't. All right. We do have some letters to get to here.
All right.
And as well, you know, Dewey, we have a one flonk per show rule. One mail from Flonk per episode. So let's get that out of the way now and
all right,
get on to the good stuff. This appears to be written in Spanish. I think I'm going to post this in the show notes because I can't make head nor tail of this.
We can only read one Flonk letter. Let's pick the one we can't read.
Well, it's the first one. It's message one of 36. The other 35 are Flonk. I'm not kidding. It says, Hola, Al y Matt. There's an A with a sort of a carrot symbol over it, an upside down question mark. Cualquiera de usted habla español. There's an A with a tilde over it, a plus or minus sign, and an OL. Then it says A to the third power S. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck this says, Flonk. You suck just as much in Spanish as you do in English. I'm gonna go with that answer. You guiz got anything?
How do you say the answer to that question? Christ in Spanish.
Actually, let me check and see if he attempted to say yours in Christ, because that would save this. Nope. No, he did not.
Habla Jesus.
All right. Next letter comes from Brewtown Andy.
Yeah.
And he asks a Star Trek question. Dewey, are you in with the Star Trek at all? Are you one of those?
That is a complete blind spot for me.
That's what I figured.
Some Star Trek, but not nearly enough.
A lot of people, when we start with our Star Trek talk, tend to tune us out, and we understand that. We're working on maybe spinning off a separate, like, supplemental podcast for just letting us talk about Star Trek, so people don't, you know, stop listening.
Yeah.
Well, I have nothing against it. I don't mind listening to you guys talk about it.
We're very into it, and we're very, like, we get very specific with the references, and, you know.
We could just go for, like, the entire, like, hour.
I'm pretty sure for the duration of about 1992 to 1994, I believed I lived on the Starship Enterprise. So there's mm-hmm. you know, there's definitely some reality issues there. He asks, would felt effectively shield the Jefferies tubes? And Dewey, just so you're on the same page here, the Jefferies tubes are when you see the guys crawling around inside the ship trying to fix it, like those little narrow, like, passageways, like, with the ladders. You always see, like, the engineer guy crawling around.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? That's Jeffrey's tubes.
Okay.
And he wants to know, would felt shield them? I don't know what that means.
Felt could shield the Jeffrey's tubes, but they found that yarn woven together worked a lot better.
Really?
Into, like, a hot plate.
Yarn woven into a hot plate.
Is that possible?
Yes, that's... Well, it will be.
In the future.
By the 24th century.
All things are future possible.
And everyone will be Irish always.
They use transparent yarn.
Transparent felt. All right. Next question comes from Tidro, who is a longtime listener of the show. She says, Matt.
Hi.
Whatever happened to Roybot Matt? This is your Twitter stalker.
Oh, yeah, my evil doppelganger. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I slayed him in a duel.
He hasn't Twittered for 9 whole days. You killed him, didn't you? You were the evil one all along, admit it.
I never said I wasn't.
Okay.
My beard is also made of transparent yarn.
I'm pretty sure I know who that was anyway.
Roybot Matt will return in Dial R for Roybot Matt.
That wasn't very good, Butthead.
Oh, I know.
Okay, next question is something that is now not specific, and Dewey, you know, you can play along.
All right.
Hey, peeps. This comes from John Drake, our friend from the board, whose real name apparently is not John Drake at all, and much to my...
That's confusing.
Yeah, it is. His real name is apparently Juan. And he asks, hey, peeps, what's your favorite moon phase? Mine's the waxing crescent.
Got to pick full moon.
Really?
Yes.
Going to go with the standard, like, normal...
The only time I feel I can be myself.
Really? Do you suffer from the lycanthropy? Or are you?
I wouldn't call it suffering.
I celebrate my lycanthropy.
I'm proud of that.
Fair enough. We're having a guest on in a few weeks who she's getting her degree, and this is totally not a joke. She's getting her degree in vampire studies. She's getting a master's in studying vampires. She also is quite knowledgeable on werewolves and werewolf erotica, apparently.
Outstanding.
So if you have anything if you want us to pass along to her, I mean, as a wolf American, as a lupine citizen.
A lupine American.
Yes.
It's an uphill battle for equality when you're eating people on the weekends. You know what I mean?
Every 28 days, you know, it's just...
Walk a mile in my paws.
In my tattered pants.
You know how hard it is to operate a doorknob with a paw? That's actually Terry Pratchett.
Where are the utilities for my people? Where are the dog doors in most common stores?
Are you lupine accessible here? Okay, so my favorite phase of the moon. Oh God, I don't know.
I like it when the crescent moon's really skinny.
I like when there's a flag on the moon because I really just don't know how it got there.
How did it get there?
I don't know. Progress, a woman's purse.
A woman's purse.
Dewey's like, what?
Children feed soda to the hungry pigs.
There's a mystery science. I usually hate to explain these things, but I can't stand it when the guest is just like, guys, shut up. there's a mystery science theater. You're familiar with that, right? You've seen.
Oh yeah, lots of that.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure if there's one. Are you familiar with Coleman Francis? He did Red Zone Cuba. He did
Red Zone Cuba and
The Skydivers. The third one in his trilogy was what was it called?
Beast of Yucca Flats.
That's it. The Beast of Yucca Flats. That is my all-time favorite mystery science theater 3000 episode. There's
Yucca Flats.
There's no ambient sound in the entire movie. It's all dubbed after the fact, and most of it is spoken to you by a narrator.
Terror from Beyond Space or whatever it is.
But it's a lot of disjointed like progress, a woman's purse, flag on the moon. How did it get there? That's actual dialogue. That's not an
exaggeration.
It's like
he's trying to be metaphorical or something.
Awesome.
Oh, and Tor Johnson, you know, the big wrestler
guy,
plays a nuclear scientist.
Well, that makes sense.
The world's biggest nuclear scientist.
That's the part I'd pick for him.
And inevitably, he's caught in an atomic blast and becomes a monster, and he's fine for that part. But before that happens, you're expected to buy him as, you know.
Doctor, oh God, what the hell was his name?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Doctor Scientist.
Doctor Russian Scientist-y.
Progress, a woman's purse. So yes, flag on the moon. How did it get there? Our next email comes from Mr. Smlown.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with the wool clown.
Oh yes.
Okay.
The woolen clown.
Yeah.
The terror beyond Ireland.
Dear Matt Allen, Senior Smoke. Is that you, Dewey? Are you Senior Smoke?
Maybe. I'll have to check my records.
All right. The Irish one is in tonight, so I shall have to type this question. Well, I say type. So I was putting his DVDs in the wrong order earlier to pass the time, and I remembered the Gav podcast. I'd like to take issue with running away from the circus. I did so because of a fire. Granted, I did indeed start the fire, but how did I know the fire eater had indigestion? Anywho, do you know the Muffin Man? Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man, the Muffin Man. Do you know the Muffin Man? Because he's a cunt. Yours digitally, non-punning, curse these stupid hands, Mr. Smiley. I personally do not know the Muffin Man.
I was under the impression that he was the Muffin Man.
Are you at all acquainted with the man, the Muffin
Not, Man? Not especially. No. I got distracted because he said the Irish one was there, and as we all know, everyone is Irish forever.
Well, yeah.
So who was he talking about? I mean, it could have been anybody.
Well, before that proclamation was made, Irish Gav was the only Irish person we actually knew.
I'm the only Irish guy left.
I think we may have a title, by the way. I think everyone's Irish forever. We may have to make you draw lots of Irish people.
I think I can handle it.
I the only person that's coming to mind now is Lucky, the Lucky Charms leprechaun, but I'm sure there must be other Irish people somewhere.
Cassidy from Preacher.
Yes. He could be in a death duel with the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
All right.
I'd read that comic.
Our next question comes, from Nick T. Let's see how many terrible puns are in this one. Dear gentlemen.
Oh, good. All of them.
All of them. Is gentleman a pun? See, now I'm like second guessing everything.
You're going to start diagramming the sentence.
Yeah. If when you die, your body was exhumed by a Professor Frankenstein type and used to create a monster using the body parts of the dead, which of your body parts would you hope get used and why? Yours questioningly, Nick. It's actually a good question.
Mm-hmm.
No puns whatsoever.
That we know of.
We're very proud for now.
There could be secret puns.
Probably. He's a good secret punner, that one.
Secret punning.
Oh, geez.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a great question. That doesn't mean we have a good answer for it.
Yeah.
The monster can have my beard.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not?
You have a particularly good beard?
I've often been complimented on it, yes.
Right. Rather robust. Right. Well, I mean, that would explain the wolf thing. I mean,
Yeah, it's part of my disguise.
That makes sense. I don't know. Most of my body is useless.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for, brain in jar robot technology because, I've wasted this thing.
I'm going to give him my hands so that I can have the whole, guy is possessed by my evil hand.
Yeah, but your hands aren't that evil, really.
No, but then he'll have to go read comics and enjoy Victorian literature too much.
All right. I will give the monster...
Like, go ahead. Why am I drinking all these Slurpees? And I'll be all like...
You'd be twirling your mustache if you had a mustache and hands to twirl it.
Well, I'd be twiddling Dewey's beard.
Oh.
Wow.
That's... Okay, I would
taking
give,
it somewhere dark.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say to that. I would give him my horrible knees, which bend the wrong way, apparently. I have those double jointed, what do they call it? The hyperextended knees.
Oh, reverse knees?
Yeah, which basically has been my excuse for staying out of athletic competition for forever. But yeah, I got some fucked up knees.
Get in there, Algar. Reverse knees acting up. All right.
Flat feet. Plus I'm a homo, plus my knees. Well, all right, if you're a homo. Next question comes also from Tidro, and she asks, Dear Algar and Matt, apparently you're left out, Dewey. You don't get to answer this.
That's all right. She can't predict the future.
What utensil do you use to eat ramen noodles? I know someone who uses a spoon. That's just weird.
That is pretty weird.
I don't eat ramen noodles, actually. I think they're gross.
I use a fork because I like them.
That's all right. I've been poor. I'm actually kind of poor now, but I always manage to find something more edible than that stuff. Cause yuck.
I use a fork. I don't typically keep chopsticks around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why.
I couldn't use them if I had some.
No. And I'm all for like cultural blah, 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 whatever, but really eating with sticks. Come on.
Well, it can be fun.
It can be. If you're picking up a challenge. Solid object, that's fine. But if you're picking up slippery noodles, you're giving yourself a handicap. Why would you do that?
The forks are right over there in that drawer. You can go get one.
And one thing I've learned watching Stephen Fry's QI is that the Chinese invented everything before the Western world did. Well, then why are they still eating with sticks?
Especially the blue whale.
Now, mind you, I mean, I'm sure that's a hacky stand-up comedy thing that's been pointed out a million times, but that doesn't make it less true.
It's true.
By Seinfeld.
Probably it was.
It was. I'm flat out telling you.
All right. Oh. Well, then I've stolen a joke from Seinfeld, and I'm totally attributing it to him now.
Yes.
Now, if only I could steal one from Will Wheaton and we could even the score.
And Bendis.
Oh, that's right. We've established now that Bendis is a joke thief, has stolen.
Oh, Matt. Who did he steal from?
Matt.
Me.
Matt's joke.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, on Twitter. And we've told the joke on the show, so we won't.
Oh, okay.
We'll tell you when we're finished. It's not like we're keeping it from you. We just don't want to bore the audience with
I don't deserve to know.
You'll never find out now.
But no, it was a very clear-cut, documented case of Matt saying a joke and then Ben is taking credit for the same joke. Pretty
shameful.
Pretty shameful.
It is shameful. Yeah. What a jerk.
Our final question comes from Corwin, and he says, "Hey guys, there are lots of different types or categories of geek in today's world. For example, anime fans, comic book nerds, Trekkies or Trekkers, or whatever the fuck they call themselves now. What kind of scares you the most? And if none scare you, what do you find the easiest to make fun of? So say we all, Corwin. P.S. Read Galaxy of the Damned at galaxyofthedamned.blogspot. Actually, no, he says galaxyofthedamned.blogspot.com.
So go there.
If you can't get your URL right, I'm going to read it the wrong way, Corwin. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. I have definitely noticed that there is a geek hierarchy that, yes, we are social pariahs, but there are always people we can look down on.
Yep. LARPers are a big one.
Yeah.
But you never have to deal with them because they're always out in the woods somewhere.
lightning bolt.
Actually, at work, we have these vending machines that, like, you put in a five, and, you know, you buy something that costs like a dollar, and it doesn't give you a bunch of quarters back. It gives you those gold dollar coins.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Which nobody acknowledges as real currency. I happen to have, a hole in my pocket that day, so I had a little baggie. So I'm walking around carrying a bag of gold coins. And realizing, if I come across a dragon, I better have, a plus one sword of fucking whatever. I'm LARPing my way back to my desk and just.
Well, did you come across a dragon?
Fortunately, no. I work at Microsoft. We have full time dragon slayers on the premises. So
he did have to briefly deal with a manticore, but otherwise it was fine.
This past weekend we went on the underground Seattle tour. There's this great little subterranean thing under Seattle, and I was very disappointed that there were no grues. I mean, I got lamp and everything, and there was none to be had. Three people
got lamp, went Douglas.
But as far as the people we look down on, God, I don't know. I think I've mentioned before that the anime guys are kind of, I don't know that I look down on them, but I think they're a little off.
I think, every geek subculture has the people that are cool and the people that are kind of
you guys
weird.
Were just a little too much into it, even for us.
Sure. I suppose that's true, because, I mean, we like Star Trek, and, we still get out and have friends and, stuff like that. So
the guy who came in and asked me whether I thought Nova could defeat Silver Surfer in a fight, really. these are the kind of people I can do without.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can answer that question. You probably have given this thought, but you also,
I can, but when a complete stranger comes up to you and just flat out asks you, so who do you think would win in a fight between the Silver Surfer and Nova? Because I think that in issue 331, I'm just like, dude, leave me alone.
And that's when you realize that... you might be out of the closet as a nerd, but there's still some shame there.
Well, sometimes it's better in the closet. maybe you could go back in there for a while.
I had a friend that we would go to the comic shop, and it would look like we were going to start one of those conversations, but we would make it as stupid as possible.
Oh, but the thing is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how stupid you make it. There's still going to be someone.
Who would win in a fight, Batman or the Grimace?
I don't know. We would go, I think our most successful one was we were walking through the, back issue rows, and it was just after Aunt May had been dead in Spider-Man, and she suddenly was not dead.
Right.
And so we were like, man, I mean, anybody can come back from the dead in a superhero comic. A fragile old woman came back from the dead. And I said, well, what if, well, they said she was an actress or whatever. And I said, what if it wasn't an actress? What if that was really her? And what if this is really her? And what if Spider-Man was fighting the Green Goblin and he pulled his mask off and it was Aunt May? And what if my friend Jordan is, well, what if everyone in the Marvel Universe is Aunt May? They're all wearing costumes and it's all this big joke on Peter. And like, you know, we pulled this on for like 5-10 minutes. And then you look around and everyone in the comic shop just giving you this blank stare. Like, what the hell?
I guarantee, I'm like, I think that's fucking awesome. But you go on that message board that we talk about and you start that thread. There's going to be people who get the joke and there's going to be people who try to have a serious conversation with you. And you know who those guys are.
Well, I don't think everyone in the Marvel Universe could be Aunt May.
Because, I mean, they would have to breed, so half of them would have to be Uncle Ben, right? I mean.
Everyone the worst part came when we realized that Mary Jane had to be Aunt May, too.
Oh, God.
And that brings us to one of Algar's favorite topics, so that's good.
Oh, God. Face it, Tiger, I brought you some wheat cakes. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're going to steer clear of the incest this week. My mother has now started listening to the show, and I think I need to back off that topic a little.
Perhaps.
She's like, can I be on the show?
No.
Like, well, it might make the incest thing weird. She's like, you guys talk about incest? Well, yeah, we talk about a lot, though. I mean, we talk about furries, too. What's a furry? And so I had to explain to my mother what a furry was.
Well, there's a conversation you never expect to have.
No.
And the least awkward conversation ever had.
Well, there was Googling involved, and it ended with her saying, ooh, what's yiff?
Ah!
So, oh, man. Yeah.
There's that was a fun. If you won't speak to your mother about furries, who will? All right,
I learned it from watching you, Raw.
All right, gentlemen. On that note, I'm afraid we've hit our time cap. We have another podcast apparently wants us to appear, so we're celebrities now, I guess.
All right,
famous podcasteers. I've been telling you.
Right, they don't just give these to just anyone.
No,
apparently. Dewey, thank you for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Love to have you back. And your comic, once again, is?
ComicsFromSpace.com.
Yes, coming out every week.
ComicsFromSpace.com.
Yes.
That's right. --_.com.
Pound sign to the third power.
Enye.
God damn it, Flunk. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And, we're gonna stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, ALGAR.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009. Don't forget, everyone is Irish. Always.